moment, you'll hear James Stewart as the Six Shooter. Just one of the many fine programs brought to you Sundays on NBC. Later this evening, listen to the NBC Star Playhouse with your favorite stars. Hear Meet the Press with guest Roy Cohn in a newsworthy broadcast. And be sure to keep tuned for the dramatic story of communism in America on Last Man Out. It's a wonderful lineup of great programs, all of them heard only on NBC. James Stewart as the Six Shooter. The man in the saddle is angular and long-legged. His skin is sun-dyed brown. The gun in his holster is gray steel and rainbow mother of pearl. Its handle unmarked. People call them both the Six Shooter. The NBC Radio Network presents James Stewart as the Six Shooter, a transcribed series of radio dramas based on the life of Britt Ponsett, the Texas plainsman who wandered through the Western territories, leaving behind a trail of still-remembered legends.
I could tell he was a big man from the sound of his steps as he plowed through the trees toward where I was squatted by the fire eating my lunch. Finally came into sight. He's almost as broad as he was tall, with bright red hair and a great big thick mustache that kind of curled up at the corners. Well, he sure wasn't any cowhand. Not with those duds he was wearing. Long black coat and light yellow breeches. Looked like he'd been wearing them for quite a spell, too, though. Mud all over the pants and a tear in one of the coat sleeves. He seemed cheerful enough, though. At least the grin he gave me was so broad it showed off practically every tooth in his head. Lots of gold there, too.
Howdy, mister.
Hello.
You mind if I warm myself for a spell?
No. Go right ahead.
That sun just don't give off much heat. What time you make it, mister?
About noon. Maybe a little later.
Hey, that grub sure smells good, don't it?
Are you hungry?
Well, not hungry exactly. Starved, oh, be more like it.
Why, you help yourself to what's left of the beans over there.
Well, thanks, mister. Thanks a lot. Worked up quite an appetite since breakfast.
They travel on foot, huh?
Yep. Not from choice, understand?
Uh-huh.
Not
sure.
From choice.
Oh, yeah.
Had me pony. Finest little roan you ever saw. I lost him, though. Oh, by George, those beans are tasty.
Well, you lost your horse?
Yep. Last night. Poker game over to Jackson.
Oh, poker, yeah. Well, you're a gambler, huh?
Well, way a card's been running lately, I ain't so sure.
I say.
But if I had to go broke somewheres, I guess Jackson was as good a place as any. At least it's within walking distance of Clover Fork.
Well, that's quite a walk.
Well, I know it. I ain't got much further to go, though, have I?
About 15 miles, I think.
Well, I reckon I'll make it somehow. You acquainted with Clover Fork, mister?
Some. I've been working on a ranch not very far from there. You should get into town every week or so. That's where I'm headed now.
Well, then, maybe you can tell me where I'll find my family. My wife and son, that is. Their name's Proctor.
What? Proctor?
Well, they're still living in Clover Fork, ain't they? That's where they'd moved to last time I heard. Janet Proctor, that's my wife. Boy's called Ted after his grandfather. You know him, mister?
Yeah, I know Ted.
Oh, I bet he's a whopper by now. Why, he must be, well, let's see, he's going on 12 years old.
He's a good-sized boy, all right.
What about Janet, mister? Is she still pretty? She used to be pretty as a picture when she was a girl.
Yeah, well, as a matter of fact, Mrs. Proctor's dead.
What?
Yeah, she's, it was over a year ago now, pneumonia.
Janet? Dead?
Yes, I'm very sorry, Proctor. It's funny they didn't let you know.
I reckon they tried. I ain't an easy man to reach. I keep moving around.
Yeah, well, to tell you the truth, I didn't realize that Ted's father was still alive. I Sort of got the impression that you were that...
Poor Janet. She sure never had much of a life. It was my fault. My fault more than anybody's, I guess. But I just couldn't do no different. I tried to settle down, get a steady job. It didn't work out. Some men aren't meant to stay put.
Yeah?
Now, it wasn't that I really left her, you understand. At first, he used to come back whenever I had a winning streak and got some money ahead. And as time went on, I kept staying away longer and longer until... Well, it's been 7, 8 years now. She wasn't living in Clover Fork when I last saw her. She told me she was fixing to move there. I thought, sure, I'd be around this part of the country before now, but... Hell, there always seemed to be another card game to keep me away.
Mm-hmm. Well, I...
Ted's all right, you said, huh?
Yeah, oh, yes, he's fine last time I saw him.
Who's looking after him now?
Well, your wife's sister. He's been living with her the last year.
Amy? Why, she's just a girl.
Oh, she must be getting on to 30.
30? Well, ain't she married yet?
No, there's talk, though. Fred Baker, a real nice fella. He owns a ranch right outside of town.
Well, how's Amy managing? She don't have no money.
Well, I guess you didn't know it, but your wife had built up a pretty nice little dressmaking trade. Amy took it over. Woman folks say she's real handy with a needle.
Oh.
Ted does his part, too. Odd jobs after school, things like that. Oh, you'll be real proud of that boy.
Yeah, sure.
Well, I guess I'd better be moving along.
Well, I'll just clean this kettle out with some sand here.
I'd like to offer you a ride into town, but my horse is losing a shoe. I don't think you could carry both of us.
That's all right, mister. That's all right. Yeah, thanks for the grub.
Oh, don't mention it.
Well, doggone it. I don't know your name, do I?
Oh, it's Ponson.
Not Britt Ponson.
That's right.
Well, I always figured I'd be meeting up with you someday. The way the both of us keep moving around. I'm real pleased to meet you, Mr. Ponsett. My first name's Gus.
How are you, Gus?
Before you shove off, I was wondering if you'd mind doing me a little favor.
Hmm?
As long as you'll be getting into Clover Fork ahead of me, would you stop off and tell Amy and the boy that I'm coming to see him for a day or so? I think maybe they kind of deserve a warning.
Sure, I'd be glad to, Gus.
Fred, it isn't fair. He's got no right to come here, not after all this time.
Well, Amy, he's Ted's father.
He was Janet's husband, too, but that didn't make any difference to him. Nobody else ever made any difference. Now, all of a sudden, he remembers that he's got a son. Why didn't he ever think about Ted before?
Now, don't get yourself all upset over it. He's only passing through. He'll just be here a day or so. That's what he said.
What will it do to Ted? He thinks his father's dead.
He would... Oh.
I had to tell him something, Britt. When Janet was so sick, he got the idea that if his pa was here, she'd get better. I could hear little Teddy praying. Every night he prayed that his father would come home. And when he didn't, and Janet died, well, I told him Gus was dead. I said that was why he hadn't come. And for all I knew, it was true. For all I knew, he was dead.
Well, I'm not saying I blame you, Amy, but Proctor's on his way into town, so if you want to explain to Ted, why...
He isn't even here. He had some errands he was going to do for me on his way home from school. I imagine he'll... Oh, that'll be Mrs. Peters. I promised her I'd have a dress ready for tonight, and it's barely started. Oh.
Hello, Amy.
But Gus.
You were expecting me, weren't you?
Yes, but not yet. Not so soon. Britt said you wouldn't be here until later.
Well, made better time than I expected. Sidebuster give me a ride in his wagon.
Oh. Well, come in.
Howdy, Mr. Ponsett. Nice seeing you again.
How are you, Gus?
My. You turned out real pretty, Amy.
Have I?
Well, I think maybe I'd better be getting
along. There's no reason for you to go, Britt.
No, I have to get me a room for the night, and you and Gus have things to talk over.
We don't have anything to talk about.
Now, Amy, I know how you must feel.
You don't know how I feel. You couldn't know. It wasn't pneumonia that killed Janet. When you left that last time and didn't come back. When she didn't even hear from you. That's what killed her.
Well, I couldn't help myself. Amy, it wasn't that I didn't love Janet, but...
Oh, go away, please. Leave us alone. Ted believes that you're dead. It's better that way.
He believes I'm dead?
Oh, don't make him go through the same thing Janet did. Always wondering where you are, always worrying about you. Let him go on believing you're dead.
Amy, you shouldn't have...
Oh, hold on, Amy. Got the black thread you wanted and a piece of silk material, but...
Hello, Teddy. You remember Mr. Ponsett?
Oh, sure.
Hi, Ted.
Just fine, Mr. Ponsett.
Ted, this is...
I reckon your aunt's forgotten my name, son. Can't say as I blame her, seeing as how we just met up. It's, Parker. George Parker. I stopped by because I used to be a friend of your pa's.
Gus Proctor carried it off pretty well, too. Sounded real convincing. The only mistake he made was saying that he'd known Ted's father. Well, sir, that youngster cut loose with a whole passel of questions. And from then on, Gus had a pretty hard time keeping up the pretending. He kept trying to leave, but it seemed that he just had to stay for supper. Ted wouldn't take no for an answer, and Amy, well, she had to go along with him. Finally, Gus agreed, but... he made it plain that he wouldn't be staying in Clover Fork overnight. Well, I went over to the hotel and got myself a meal and my room. Oh, Amy had invited me to supper, too, but I told her to make it some other time. After I'd eaten, I settled down in the lobby. The usual poker game was going on over in the corner. So I sat around for a while. And just as I was getting ready to go upstairs, I saw Gus come strolling in.
Good evening, Britt. I was hoping you'd not gone to bed yet.
Yeah, well, I sure was thinking about it, Gus. How was the supper?
Oh, it's first rate, first rate. Amy's a real fine cook. She's a fine woman, too, Britt. She's done a good job with the boy.
Well, I never heard anybody say otherwise. You, you went on playing dead, huh?
I must say, I wrote myself a mighty pretty obituary.
You did?
Yeah. As far as Ted's concerned, he had just about the greatest father that ever lived.
Mm-hmm. Why did you change your mind, Gus? Why didn't you tell him who you really were?
Well, Amy was so set against it, and... well, I don't know, I figured maybe she was right. Ain't as if I was going to be with him or be hanging around town, but, well...
yeah?
I did sort of promise to stay over another day.
Oh?
Well, the boy wants to go hunting tomorrow. It's Saturday. He don't have no school, and he ain't never been hunting with a man, Britt. I guess I owe him that much.
Yeah, sure.
The only thing is, if I'm going to stay over, well, I'll need me a little steak. Now, I'm not asking for a loan, you understand? Well, not without offering securities, anyhow. You noticed my stick pin, didn't you?
Yeah, I noticed it.
Well, it sure looks like a genuine diamond, don't it? Oh, it ain't, of course. It's just glass, but I've moved fire. I really fooled more than one jeweler with that pin. So if I wasn't to claim it back, well, you could always get more than $5 for it. You wouldn't be out nothing.
No, I don't know, because $5 is a lot of money, you know.
You'll have it back before morning.
Mm-hmm. I will, huh?
Sure. You see that game over there in the corner?
Yeah.
Well, not one of them fellas knows the first thing about poker. You can tell from the way they're holding their cards.
Maybe so. I thought you said you were in a losing streak.
Well, I was until tonight. Now I got the doggonedest feeling my luck has changed. Ted sure had his heart set on going to hunt.
All right. Here you are. Here's the money.
Thank you, Bruce. Thank you. Here's the pin.
Oh, you don't have to
go. No, sir. A business transaction is a business transaction. Now, here, you take it.
Say, by the way, What did you tell Ted about yourself? I mean, about this George Parker you're claiming to be.
Oh, I said I was a no-good, no-count, roving gambler.
Oh, I see you did, huh?
Well, I had to tell him some truth, didn't I?
Yeah. Yeah, I guess you did.
We'll return to James Stewart as the six-shooter in just a moment. But I'd like to pass on a word of thanks to you, our audience. Thanks from Jimmy Stewart, from our writer, Frank Burt, the entire technical crew, and our director, Jack Johnstone, for the warm, friendly letters we receive from you every week. It makes us feel that you are somehow sharing the pleasure that is ours in bringing you the six-shooter. We only wish it were possible to answer them all individually, for we appreciate hearing from you more than you may realize.